Let's all say amen. And we want to thank the great God of heaven for giving us another opportunity to hear another portion of his word. We're thankful for all that are on the call this afternoon. Thankful for those who have prioritized their lives such that they prepared themselves to hear another portion of God's word. We're thankful for those on the call that may not be Christians on this afternoon as of yet. One of my responsibilities each time I share God's word in a sermon format is to share what one must do to become a Christian, and that I would do at the close of the message. However, this message, as we started on Peter's first letter to Christians, is written to Christians. And our subject on this afternoon is, but as the servants of God, but as the servants of God. There are things when we look at, but as the servants of God, we are to do and to be certain things. As Christians, we are to be the servants of God, who, as the disciples of Christ, are learners from the Word of God. We serve him correctly when we are influenced by the Bible. Again, as Christians, we are the servants of God. We are learners from the Word of God that allows us to become disciples of Christ. And then we want to understand that when we are influenced by the Bible, we can correctly serve him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll pick up where we ended in verse number 10. And again, our subject this afternoon, but as the servants of God, talking to Christians. Peter, in his letter in verse number 10 of chapter 2, 1 Peter's letter, Peter said, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So Peter, as we talked about on last Sunday, those that were with us, Peter says that now we are the people of God. You become the people of God, or one becomes a child of God when they have obtained mercy. We obtain mercy, initial mercy, only when we come in contact with the blood of Christ that allows one to become a Christian, a member of God's family, and those are the people of God. And so Peter then begins to talk about Christian living, are those that are people of God. In verse 11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech ye as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So Peter says, those that he loved, dearly beloved, I ask you as strangers and pilgrims. You know, we sing this song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Well, Peter wanted us to know those treasures that are laid up beyond the blue can be hindered if we don't learn, as we'll talk about on this afternoon, to abstain from fleshly lust. Peter said, why? Because they war against the soul. Or there is a spiritual conflict that fleshly lust has against the soul of the Christian. And so Peter says that we have to abstain, we have to keep oneself from fleshly lust. So the question is, what are fleshly lusts that fight against our soul? And how does one keep away from them? Well, one definition that I'll use this afternoon as it relates to fleshly lust, we'll see in the Word of God. Fleshly lust are when we give pleasure or satisfaction to unspiritual appetites. When I want to do those things, or I want to satisfy myself, I want to give pleasure to myself, and those things are not spiritual. Peter says those are fleshly lusts. Those are the things that, if participated in continually, they war against our soul, and they can bring challenges to us as it relates to heaven. So let's look at, we're going to give a foundational scripture and then look at a case study of how one gives in to fleshly desires and what they are, and then how one can win over against fleshly desires. In Romans chapter 6, and the verse is number 16. Romans chapter 6, and the verse is number 16, as we talked about servants of God. Notice what Paul says to the Romans. He says, "Know ye not, or don't you know, that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Paul lets us know that when you talk about the word, "Know ye not to whom you yield," yield means to set before or to place near. We as Christians have to learn and understand that if we place things near us, if we set things before us, there is the opportunity. If the gratification or the pleasure is heightened enough that we want to satisfy that, then we can yield ourselves to those things. And Paul says that if the things I yield to are sinful, it can result in my spiritual death. Or if I'm obedient to those things that are in the Word of God, it can result in me staying righteous. And so I want to bring our attention, hopefully the story is familiar to you, as we open up this case study in Genesis, the third chapter. I want us to be able to see from the Word of God what Peter was saying as we expound on what are fleshly lusts. And again, the admonition from Peter is we have to learn to keep oneself from those things. All of us, every one of us that are the Christian, we have fleshly desires that are in us. We have appetites in us that we have a desire to want to satisfy or to please ourselves, but those things are not consistent with the will of God. So we're trying to teach us on this afternoon, give us practical examples as a Christian, things that are tangible, things that we can hold on to, foundational things from the Word of God, that as we look at this thing, we can see from the Word of God how the Word of God is able to help us. And so in Genesis chapter 3, we spiritually have one enemy. That the Bible talks about, Peter will talk about in his letter, we have one enemy, and that enemy is the devil. And so in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible identifies him. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, he said to Eve, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, verse 3, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, let us look at what God actually said to them in Genesis 2 and 15. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. So where she said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God identifies to her, or to them, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eateth thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. And so I want to say that the Christian can fall to unspiritual wants when we either do not know what God has said, or when we're not clear about what God has said. When it comes to worshiping God, there are many in the Church of Christ that worship God not consistent with the Word of God. Why? Because we do not know what the Word of God says, or we're not clear on what God has said. That's the reason why we need to learn to read. And Paul said in his Ephesians letter, whereby when you read, you may understand. You have to read and also get an understanding of what God's word has said. And so back in Genesis with the woman, she said in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, God said that you will surely die. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. That's why the importance on the Christian is to read the Word of God. We've talked about this. It is your responsibility to read for yourself the Word of God. Yes, preaching is important, but you got to go back and study what has been taught. When are the messages preached? When the sermon is shared? You have to become a note taker. You have to become a student. You have to become a learner of the Word of God. And if you're not doing that, you are as Eve was. You may know something, but you don't know enough that when those fleshly desires begin to covet you, when those desires begin to chase you, when those desires get near you, you don't have the Word of God, as we'll talk about, that is necessary. So the Bible says in verse 5 of Genesis 3, for God, the serpent talking, for God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You have to be careful sometimes. Part of when John said the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. The pride of life means, part of that means, whenever I want to be more than what God has designed for me to be, when I want to be better than what God has said. Notice now, God had told them, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. That, but the devil used that to say, for you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Be careful sometimes when we want more than what God has given us. God has given us everything God wants us to know. As a Christian, God has put it in His Word for those for us to know. Those things that, there are things that are secret that are unto God for God to know. And so the Bible says, and when the woman, watch now, we're talking about fleshly lust. But when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, remember now, as we define in verse 6, what fleshly lusts are. When I want something that is pleasurable to me, it is good to me. It may not be good for me, but it is good to me. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. It would satisfy that desire. Not only that it was pleasant to the eye. Sometimes fleshly lusts are things that we see that are pleasurable, that you see that are pleasurable. Be careful. The song says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because sometimes our eyes is what lead us into trouble. Things that we see that we desire, that those are fleshly desires. And then the Bible says, the serpent said, and it's a tree, verse 6, to be desired. Remember, it's a desire to make one wise. To make one wise. To make one wise. Sometimes we want to be more than what God has asked us to be. We want to be greater than what God asked us to be. So we have to understand, even in the home format, Brother Brooks shared on this morning about the fact that It is the man's responsibility to lead the home. God had it. And sometimes if you're not careful, you want to, sometimes the man want to abdicate his role that God has given him. And then the wife sometimes wants to step ahead of her role. Don't be more than what God wants you to be. Well, where can I find that, Brother Strauss? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11, excuse me, and verse number 3, Paul said to the Corinthians, "But I would have you know that the head, this is God's military order, but that the head of every man is Christ. Christ is the head of every man, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." That's God's order. You have God the Father, you have Christ the Son, you have man, and you have woman. Don't want to be more than what God has given us in the scriptures. And so when we want to be more than that, and the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 6, it is a tree to be desired. Why? Because it'll make one wise. The Bible says she gave in to those fleshly desires. She gave in to those unspiritual appetites. She satisfied the pleasure. And I'm saying to us as Christians, when you give in to those appetites, we talked about it, Peter talked about when I as a Christian, I have malice in my heart. When it's in my heart to want to harm another Christian, that is, those are unspiritual appetites that I want to gratify. I want to satisfy. Why? Because I'm hating on someone else. Those don't come from God. Those are fleshly desires. And so the Bible says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And now Brother Brooks said this morning about Ananias and Sapphira. Not only in this case this morning we had where the husband and wife got together to do that which was against the will of God, in the sense that they had something that they had gotten together and said they would give to the Lord, and then they kept back a part of that. Well, in this case here, you will find that the woman, she violated the will of God, and her husband wasn't strong enough to stand firm on the word of God. He gave in to her, and he also did eat. So they both now are in sin. And I'm saying, in a marital relationship, Brother Brooks shared on this morning, thank Brother Brooks for the message this morning, those that heard this morning. In a relationship, there is sometimes a need for one to show strength over the other, where one can bear up another person when someone else is weaker in a situation. What Adam should have done, he should have corrected his wife and let her know what God has commanded. And even in the church, when it comes to things that others want to do in relationship to worship service, and sometimes we're in an environment now where people want to jazz up worship, want to make worship. No, we're going to do things that God has commanded. And when you want more than that, then you need to find somewhere where you can do more than that and not do what you allowing your fleshly desires to be satisfied, and basing in the mic and all the other things, innovations that we're bringing in our worship service that God has not aligned with or is not in agreement with God. So we got to find in the case here that also, understand this, all of our desires that we may have are not generated only by the devil himself. Sometimes we have wants that we want to satisfy, that we want to give pleasure to, that are inside of us, that are not consistent with God's will. Go back to Romans chapter 6, and the verse is number 19, where the Bible points that out to us. Romans chapter 6, and the verse is number 19. Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Infirmity here means something that you like so much that you are often unable to resist it. That is a weakness in your flesh. Paul says, for as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now, he said, right now, yield your members, notice again, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. And we've been talking about that over the past few weeks about righteousness and holiness. Well, Brother Stroud, how is it? How can I yield and be servants of God unto righteousness? Well, I think the ideal example will be Christ himself in Matthew, the fourth chapter. Beginning at verse 1, Christ himself being a human being like us, even though he's God on earth. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Notice now, to be tempted of the devil, the same serpent that tempted Eve, now tempting, the devil is tempting Christ. And when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. Understand this, that oftentimes the devil doesn't come at the Christian when he's at his strongest. He waits till the Christian is at what appears to be his weakest. He waited for Jesus 40 days, 40 nights, and after that he knew Christ was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Notice now, he's challenging on the pride of life. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When the Christian has, and it is written in their heart, this is how we can overcome or defeat those fleshly appetites that we possess or that are given to us from the devil. Sometimes those desires are given to us by the devil to our hearts. Other times, it is desires that we have, that the thing that will satisfy those things, the things that will deal with those You have to have a, it is written. You have to have in the Word of God. You have to have the Word of God, not so much that I can quote the Word of God, but the Word of God can influence me. Understand this. The Word of God, as I shared before, is like the speed limit sign on the freeway. The speed limit sign does not make you drive the speed limit. It does not allow you to drive past the speed limit. The speed limit, as is with the Word of God is designed to influence behavior. It gives you what the right behavior is, and it has influenced you. So when I see on the freeway the speed limit saying 65, that ought to influence my behavior. I can drive 85 if I choose to. However, that's overriding the Word of God. And when we have appetites or desires that we want to satisfy, then I will give in those. But Peter says, I go back to the text in 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Why, Peter? He says, having your conversation or your manner of life, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles. We as Christians need to live honest among those in the world. What does honest mean? Honest means being good and being truthful. He says that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation of judgment. Why? Because we are but as servants of God. We'll see that in the text. Because we are servants of God, we want our behavior to be honest among those in the world. As servants of God, Peter says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or as unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So we as Christians, we are to live a life that allows us our actions to be such that we are submissive, or we surrender to those laws of the land as long as they don't go against the Word of God. He said, whether it be the king back then, they had a Roman emperor. Nero was the king because he was the supreme. He said, all unto governors. So we are, as Christians, are to obey the laws of the land. Peter said, for so is the will of God. This is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Those people that want to talk about us, let our well-doing put them to silence. Because you're a Christian and carry yourself as a Christian, let our well-doing put them to silence. He said, as free and not using our liberty, our freedom, for a cloak of maliciousness. We talked about in 1 Peter 2:1, maliciousness comes from the word malice, which means we don't use our freedom to try to cover up trying to hurt someone else, but as the servants of God. Why we don't do that? Because we are but as the servants of God. And then as I close, Peter says 3 points here. One is to honor all men. What does that mean? Respect that is given to someone is an understanding that someone should be treated in an appropriate way, especially by those of us who claim to be Christians or the servants of God. Honoring all men means that we all try to treat others in an appropriate way. We respect those individuals. Then Peter says, love the brotherhood. The brotherhood are the community of Christians, those that are people of God. We should love all Christians. Yeah, love the brotherhood. Love the community of Christians. There ought not be a Christian that you know that you don't love or won't do good for that person. And then Peter closes, I will close. He will say, fear God and honor the king. Fear God simply means having the highest respect for God. Brother Brooks said on this morning, if I respect God, I will give to God as I receive. I will give back to God liberally. I will give to God as I receive. Why? Because I have the highest respect for God. I am not practicing Christianity when I don't give to the Lord, when I don't pray to the Lord during worship, when I don't sing to the Lord, when I don't participate in the act of worship, then I don't have the highest respect for the Lord. If I'm doing this COVID period, let me say this, during this COVID period, I should still be giving to the Lord. Each time, Brother Brooks shared this morning, as I am I able to work, I give back to the Lord. If I'm receiving checks because of retirement or pension, I should still be giving regularly on the first day of the week to the Lord as I receive those monies. If not, I don't have the highest respect for God. I'm allowing my fleshly desires, as was the case in Ananias and Sapphira this morning, they kept back a part of the money. Why they kept it back, we don't know. But what we do know, they did not please God, and you're not pleasing God when I have that type of behavior. And so, but as a servant of God, we're going to abstain from those fleshly desires which war against our soul. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, how does one become a servant of God and be a Christian, a child of God? Well, we have it in Peter's letter. He shared with us the gospel in 1 Peter 3:18. He said, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we see here that Christ suffered for man. We know through other scriptures he was nailed to the cross for 6 hours. The just for those of us that were unjust. The reason was to bring us back to God. He was put to death. He died on the cross, but he was made alive again by the Spirit. So we see that is called the gospel in other places, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. How do I become a Christian? Well, Peter says about water in verse 20, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So one has to hear the gospel. You have to believe what I just read to you in verse 18. You repent of your sin, meaning you now turn your heart toward God. You make the confession, as we find in Acts 8:37, of what you believe in your heart. And that should be that I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then you are water baptized. Baptism is when one is baptized or covered up with water for the remission of all your past sin, and then the Lord will add you to the church of Christ, the only church in the Bible. You then become a servant of God. You become a child of God. There's someone today that would like to fulfill that and become a Christian. You are given with the person that have invited you to the call. They will should know the steps to call us or get in contact with us so that we can fulfill that and have you baptized and added to the Lord's body. There's someone today that would like to respond. I turn you back over as we'll hear the song of invitation. Thank you very much this afternoon for your listening to the Word of God.